to the officers of the church, mother, and to everyone in their respective places. I thank God for this opportunity to speak to you this morning and give you a word from heaven. Amen. Amen. I don't take these opportunities lightly, that God has given me an opportunity to stand before you and to tell you once again of his goodness. Amen. Of his grace and his mercy. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I got this little rag up here just in case y'all make me sweat. I want to be prepared just in case y'all make me go there this morning. In other words, act a fool up in here. Amen. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Did I say 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 1. Are we there? Amen. Let's make sure we're all together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen. You may be seated. I'm still speaking on vision, but I want you to stir up the vision. Amen. Those with vision see possibilities where others see impossibilities. You have some people that will say to you, don't tell me it can't be done. Those are people that have vision. But I want to tell you that don't have visions, you haven't failed if you haven't quit. If Jesus were to approach you, I have to make this personal, you this morning, like he approached the blind person and touch you and ask, do you see anything? How would you respond to that question? Would you be able to tell Jesus, I see everything clearly? It's hard to see God clearly when there's things going on around the world, and you see when you open up and read the newspaper, you hear about this tragedy, or you look at TV, you see another tragedy, and then you're also hearing about the wars in other countries. It's hard to see things. But vision is that elusive thing that dares to dream big dreams about the future. Vision has been called hope with the blueprint. Vision is what an inventor has when he or she thinks outside the box to create something new. Vision is what a mother has as she looks at her newborn baby and imagines all that he or she could grow up to become. That's vision. Vision has a way of ignoring its critics and chasing its dreams regardless of how many people say it can't be done. Let me just give you a few, not a lot. Consider these famous predictions that underestimated the incredible power of vision. Thomas Watson, who was the chairman of IBM in 1943, said, "I think there is a market for maybe 5 computers in the world." 5 computers. Ken Olson, president and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, said in 1977, "There is no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home." People with no vision. No vision. Consider this Western Union memo from 1876. "The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication." No vision. You get the idea. Vision has a way of ignoring those who say it can't be done and doing it anyway. Many times in Paul's writing to Timothy, Paul refers to himself as a spiritual father to Timothy. Paul met him on one of the missionary journeys to Lystra. Timothy was already a solid Christian because of the faith of his mother and grandmother and despite his Greek-believing father. Soon Paul and Timothy would travel together. Paul and Timothy became very close. Paul acted as a mentor to the ministry of Timothy. Timothy was young and timid and needed someone to lift him up and carry him. Timothy had a tendency to avoid confrontations. The stress of his ministry assignment was affecting him. There are times where we go through rough stages. We go through times when our vision fades. The flame of our vision begins to dim. The passion begins to ease and the heat begins to cool. That's what was happening to young Timothy. The Apostle Paul, young protege, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy to try to salvage a mess in the church in Ephesus. But when Timothy got there, he found himself way in over his head. The entire leadership team in the Ephesian church was older than he was and didn't respect his leadership. Sometimes folks don't want a young pastor. They want an old pastor. They feel as though a young pastor don't know enough, hasn't been through enough. Let me tell you something. God's anointing is better than man's appointing any day. Listen to that. Because if God has anointed that young person to preach the gospel, he'll do a better job than that 80-year-old that you selected as your pastor. God's anointing. In the meantime, his mentor, Apostle Paul, had been arrested by the Roman government. So he couldn't be there with his young protege. Timothy's vision had dissipated. The excitement and the enthusiasm he had once felt when he joined Paul's ministry team some years ago was dwindling down. Somewhere between the church in Ephesus and his fear of Paul's life being in prison, Timothy's vision had slipped away just a little bit, just a little. Timothy needed his vision renewed, and that's a big reason why Paul is writing this letter to him. In other words, Paul's saying he needed a pep talk. A pep talk is meant to instill enthusiasm or boost morale. It's designed to increase confidence, production, and cooperation. Some of us here this morning are in need of a pep talk. Maybe things are not going well in your life right now. Even though you hear upbeat gospel music, but you still don't feel upbeat. Maybe you've been hit with some news that you don't care to hear about your health or your job or your friends who has been disloyal to you, and you're not so sure about your faith either. Some of us are in this situation right now. So basically what I'm saying is if there was a light on, you would need some service. You follow me? You know, your car engine, your car light comes on, is letting you know that you're in need of service. So some of you, the light is on because you're in need of service. You're in need of a pick-me-up, a pep talk, something that's going to lift you up. So you came in today for some service. A checkup. Jesus gave a little pep talk before he departed. In John 20, the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples on many occasions, being seen by 500 people before ascending to heaven. Paraphrasing just a little bit, but I don't want to go into a lot of details. You know, Thomas was there, and Thomas was a doubter. He didn't believe. And so Jesus showed up, and basically that belief, that unbelief went away. And Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. In other words, he was giving them a pep talk, letting them know that I'm still available to you. And what you need to understand this morning, that there is always tension between our vision and the way things are. You need to understand that vision only describe the status quo, it wouldn't be vision. So the difference between vision and the status quo creates tension. Like a rubber band that's been stretched. Often we're tempted to let this tension pull the vision down to the status quo to soften the vision and make it more pleasant to the way things are. Instead, we should let the tension pull the way things are closer to the vision, creating the necessary changes in our lives needed to pull us toward what God has for us. And I believe this morning that God wants to pull us closer to our vision. God wants a congregation of renewed vision for worship, praying, service, outreach, and nurture. God calls us to let the tension between this vision and the way things are to stretch us, to pull us, to excite us, to fan the flame so we once burn again. I want you to see that in spite of the way things look, if you know Christ, you have received him, then you stand in a unique category in all humanity. You are on a select team. You are a person of privilege. You can find confidence before God in the fact that you have been born and reborn of Him. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, it means that you are a child of God. So this second letter is the last letter. This is the last letter from Paul from the prison cell before his execution. It's kind of like the last will and testament as Paul reflects back on the vision that fueled his life and his ministry. Sometimes you gotta look back on the purpose and the reason of why you are here. Paul said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Paul looks back on his life. He views his entire life since coming to the faith in Christ and as an act of worship directed to God. For Paul, worship was a lifestyle of devotion to God, not just a Sunday morning church activity for him. It wasn't that, you know, okay, now all of a sudden today is Sunday, that means this is church day. And then when Monday comes, it's no longer church day. Paul was saying that I have a lifestyle of worshiping God, regardless of what day of the week I may be on. He was saying that I have a lifestyle that worships our Lord and Savior. By the time Paul writes to Timothy, he's ready to die and go to be with Jesus. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is the letter that Paul writes. He's in prison, prepared to face execution. Throughout Paul's letter, you notice if you ever read Paul's letters, one of the things that he said in his favorite word, finally. He had a lot of those. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you see, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Then he said it again. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul is ready to face death. He's not idle and passive in his final moments. Rather than sit and wait, we find Paul steady and willing to do God's work. In other words, he's saying there's still some ministry to be done. So he writes this letter to Timothy as Paul is facing death. His young protege comes to mind, and I have some strong, he has some things that he needed to share with him, and he needed to get off of his chest, and he needs to encourage him. So if you don't mind, let me just kind of use my imagination for a moment. You know, when Paul was writing to young Timothy, what he's basically saying, Timothy, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Timothy, God has called you into his service. Timothy, I lay my hands on you as a token of God's call. And Timothy, what I need you to do is stir yourself up and do what God has asked you to do. What was he doing? The very thing that you see a lot of us do, that we get a little lackadaisical and we get a little timid and we don't want to do things no more. So what Paul was saying, if we don't stir up the people, move the people, we have failed. Paul did this all the time where he stirred the people up. So he was writing to Timothy and said, come on, man, get with it. Get with it. So he wrote to the Christians in the church at Rome, at Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, in the same manner to stir and move and shake them. Folks don't want to be shaken no more. They want you to just preach the word. They would rather just sit still on Sunday mornings. They want to come to church on Sunday morning and listen to a message for an hour, get up and walk out the door and go home and eat dinner and forget about what you said. Then come back next Sunday, maybe, and listen again, go out and forget what they heard. They don't want to stir up the gift that's inside of them. But in order to do what God asks, you have to stir up the gift that's inside of you. So you need to stir it up. The ideal is a fire that is slowly burning out. So you have to take the poker and you have to stoke it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I dealt with this. My parents have a fireplace, and a lot of times I can see that the fire is going out. So what I do, I get the poker, and I go and I poke it a little bit to kind of move things around. In other words, I'm doing some shaking and some moving in there to get the fire burning because I can see that it's going dim. What Paul is basically saying to Timothy, I see the flame is still burning. But I need to stir you up because you need to know that the Holy Spirit is in you. You can't just be timid, Timothy. You got to get it together. Moses had the same thing in mind. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and 12. He was stirring them up as we must do. Remember, Timothy had a timid streak in him. He was a little fearful at times, as we read in verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So Timothy faced times when his gift was going dormant. Sometimes we let our gifts go flat. We let our gifts go flat. Timothy didn't need any new spiritual ingredients in his life. Sometimes we let things go flat. You know, I remember when I was at a restaurant and I tasted, they brought me something to drink and I said, ooh, that's nasty. I said, you gotta take that back. That's flat. I don't want that. You know, I don't want nothing flat. I want something that's got some oomph in it. You know, if you ask for a soda, you don't want it to be flat. You want it to have some up in it, right? I mean, it ain't going to be like that soda that you had growing up that it come out of your nose type stuff. They ain't got that no more. I'm talking about the kind that at least give you something that's going down. It burns a little bit. Now, some of y'all that may drink and say soda ain't nothing. But you know what I'm talking about. You don't want it to be flat. Yeah, I knew that'll get your attention. You don't know what soda is, but you know what the other stuff is. You want something when it goes down, it burns. I took communion at a church one day. I promise you. Took communion at the church one day, and I'm going to tell you, they had a little wine with their communion. I didn't know it. Nobody told me. I'm just thinking it's grape juice going around, you know. Man, I got in the center. And I took it and that stuff was burned. I said, well, that grape juice was strong. I said, whoa. And I talked to a friend of mine after church. I said, that grape juice was strong. I said, is it expired or something? She said, no, silly, that's wine. I said, oh, God, I drank wine. No wonder it burned going down because my body ain't used to that. I was like, good Lord, that was burning. Who thought I was going to catch on fire up in there? You can tell I ain't drank nothing. This is about as strong as it gets. Sometimes we let things go flat. All Timothy had to do was stir it up. What he already had. Some of us want God to do something extra special for him. In other words, we want God to give us something else. But God is saying, you can work what you got. He even said that to Moses. What do you have in your hand? Moses wanted something else. But God said, what you got in your hand? In other words, you got to stir up what you already got. You ain't using what you got, but you want God to give you something else. So you won't use that either. Paul said in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He said, I am persuaded that is in thee also, because I've seen you grow up in the gospel. So I want to encourage you, like Paul encouraged Timothy, to stir up the gift that's inside of you. Don't be a spectator in worship service. Get involved. If you are not engaged in battle, that means you are retreating. It's just that simple. We got too many churches around here that are lifeless and struggling. But here's what I want you to understand, that we need to be awakened, moved, and sent forward. We need preachers that's going to preach the gospel, not some preachers that's concerned about having a community center, or preachers that are concerned about having a good name in the community, or having their name on the street. We don't need that. They may be satisfied, but we must never be satisfied with mediocre leadership. We need to remember the commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. They spent some years together serving in the ministry. Timothy was a good support man, a servant. His personality mixed well with Paul. But it was time for Paul to head off into eternity. Shortly, Paul would lose his life at the hand of Caesar. But Paul was ready to die. You know, when a child of God is ready to die, let me tell you something, death cannot sneak up on a child of God. They're ready to die. But I can just imagine for a moment how Paul was really communicating to Timothy. I kind of use my own imagination to, you know, how some folks, when you ask them to do stuff and they don't want to do it. And when you say, I need your help, brother. I need your help, sister, on this project. And I need you to work with me on this. And you may get some help or you may not. Folks will say they help you, but then they'll say they forgot. You know, it works any kind of way. You know, but and then people get a little discouraged and won't come to church because maybe the pastor's mind was so all over the place that he didn't speak to him this morning. Or that he may have forgotten something that they asked about, but not knowing that the pastor is a very busy man. But my point I'm trying to say is that we get mad and go home and we don't see folks no more, and sometimes they join another church and they ain't said nothing to you. So what I'm saying is that, you know, I can imagine Paul when he listened and when he hearing the report of Timothy, Paul was probably saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Man, you need to get it together. I'm talking about, man, I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been left for dead. Got bit by a snake. I was on a ship and the ship shipwrecked. I was out there floating. And you want to tell me you getting mad because somebody didn't say speak or speak to you? Are you kidding me? Man, I lost my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you going to sit up here and act a fool and not come and help me? How dare you? I can't believe what I'm hearing. God is worth more than that. I done been all over the world preaching the gospel, speaking in tongues, in many different languages, doing all this for the Lord, and you getting mad and staying home? I done wrote many letters trying to stir up your gift, trying to get you to praise the Lord. Here it is, I'm been beaten and left for dead twice. And you don't want to come to church. I ain't read about you being beaten. I ain't read about a snake biting you. I didn't hear about you being on a cruise ship and the ship was a shipwreck and you was out there floating on something. I didn't hear about that. But we get mad and I ain't going to church. I ain't doing it. No, I don't like them folks up in there. For what? Paul is saying, come on now, get it together. Stir up the gift that's inside of you. He said, I know you got it in you because it was in your grandmama. And then it was in your mama. It wasn't in your daddy, but I know it was in him. You see, it wasn't mentioned. He ain't mentioned a daddy. That's because it wasn't in his daddy. But it was in the grandmama and the mama. So he said, I know it's got to be in you because you was close to him. I'm going to tell you something. If you are close to a child of God, trust me, you stay there long enough, you're going to get it. Just keep it. What I'm telling you, you may not want to say, I ain't clapping my hands. Stay longer to a praiser. I promise you, you're going to be praising. Y'all ever seen Bugs Bunny? Bugs Bunny can make you do some stuff that you say you wouldn't do. Y'all ever seen him? I mean, Bugs Bunny, you can say, I ain't doing that. Bugs Bunny will have you clapping and dancing when you was getting ready to put him in a pot and trying to cook him. But Bugs Bunny will have you in the pot and he got you ready to cook you. So don't say you ain't going to do it. You stand next to a praiser, somebody that worships God for real, being co-laborers with them. I promise you, you ain't going to be sitting. I promise you, you're going to wave your hands. I promise you, if you can't sing, you're going to sing today. I promise you that if you don't even want to pat your foot, I'm going to look down and your feet going to be patted. Why? Because you're standing next to a praiser that's on fire for God. And because they ain't worrying about you sitting down, they gonna get theirs because they know that God is worthy. See, they've been through some stuff too. So Paul is trying to remind Timothy, stir up the gift, man. Stir up the gift that's inside of you. Don't be timid. Don't be lackadaisical. Paul is saying, get with it, man. Come on now. I'm getting ready to check out of here. I'm facing execution, man. I'm getting ready to die, but I ain't worrying about dying right now. I'm worrying about you. Keeping the faith. Isn't this something? This is very powerful. This man is getting ready to die. He's on his deathbed in prison writing a letter to a young Timothy. And worrying about his soul. Paul said, I know where I'm going. I'm getting ready to transfer from here to glory. He said, I ain't worrying about, you know, myself right now. I'm concerned about you. He said, I need to make sure that you keep the faith. I want to make sure that you keep holding on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want you to let go. He said, because this is too serious. So he's telling him as he's getting ready. You know, when people are in prison, they say, well, what is your last meal you want to have? What is your last thing you want to do before they, you know, inject you, execute you? And some people say, well, I want a steak and some potatoes. I want all of that. Well, I think Paul said, give me a pen. Give me some paper. I need to write a letter. I ain't concerned about my physical body right now because it's been battered and bruised. I ain't worrying about that. He said, give me something that I can write on, that I can share a word to one of my co-laborers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care about my situation right now. All I'm caring about is the work of the Lord. Yeah.
not concerned about his situation, not concerned about what's getting ready to happen to him. You know, when something's getting ready to happen to you or something, you know, he's in trouble, you know, parents say, go to your room. I'm in a room like this. Ooh. If I didn't know the Lord, I know him now, because I sure was calling on him. Please have mercy on me. I'm in the room, and, you know, Bob taking his time coming in there. Man, just come on and get it over with. You know, but he comes in there slow and everything. Didn't he want to talk to you? Dude, man, spare me the talking. Let's just get this thing over with. So what I'm saying is that I'm in there. I'm waiting execution. I'm waiting this punishment. I ain't thinking about Michael. I ain't thinking about nobody. All I'm thinking about how warm my behind is going to be. You know, and then you got the nerd who want to put on some extra shorts. No, he said, take them off. So what I'm saying is that when it's your situation, when it's your problem, what I'm trying to get you to understand here is that we are concerned about ourselves. But here it is. Don't you see what Paul is concerned with? He's concerned about co-laborers. In other words, Paul is basically saying, today, 2016, we got some young Timothys. Paul is saying, we got some young Timothys in our ministry. He's saying, we need to reach out to them. We need to tell them, come on now, you can get it together. Come on now, it's not that bad. Come on now, just keep praising God. You got to go through this in order to get to something God is trying to get for you. Soon as we face a little hardship, we like, oh, Lord, I ain't going to church no more. It ain't working. Soon as we face a little hardship, soon as we face a little problem, let me tell you something. God has blessed me throughout. Throughout, in season, out of season, whatever you want a season, you want to call it. God has been blessing me. I'm not here to preach about myself, but I can't help but tell of the goodness of God. How God has blessed me in my life. So I'm saying is that God can do it to you. We got some young Timothys out there that need to be stirred up. That the fire is burning because you're here. But what you need to do is just kind of stir it up. You need to fan it a little bit and get the blaze going again. In other words, add some logs to what you're burning. Add something to what you're burning. Hold on to the gospel. We need to be careful in trying to make the ministry our ministry. It is not our ministry, but it's the Lord's ministry. We only are stewards over what God has given us. When we lead, this is why most churches are not being successful. And when the older pastors pass away, they don't want to turn it over to a young Timothy. They rather just say, well, I'm just going to not pass it on to anybody. I'm just going to go to the grave with it. And then the church is in chaos. All because the pastor didn't finish it well. We need to pass it on. We need to raise up some Timothys in this church. We need to bring them close to us in the gospel. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity for people in my life to raise me up in the gospel alongside of them, that way I can understand how things are. And I'm thankful that I had the seasoned Christian that when things got bad, they still kept the faith in Christ. They didn't waver. You know, yet they're human, but they still put their trust in God. So I'm here to tell you today that even though things get bad for you in your life, you can still trust the Lord. Why? Because he is a person that you can trust. He is somebody that is different than your neighbor or your friend that would turn their back on you. The Lord said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. But we need to understand that what Paul was saying to Timothy, farewell, not going to be here too much longer. But you can hold on to the words of the Lord and know that God is with you. Sometimes you got to go down memory lane and say, I remember how things used to be. I remember how we started out. I remember how things have gone. I remember, you just have to go down memory lane and teach the young people where you came from. How God brought you through. Testimonies. Sometimes you got to shake things up a little bit. Don't keep things, my wife, she loves to redecorate the house. Sometimes I'll go in the house, I'll be like, I'm at the right house. She likes to rearrange stuff. I like things as is, but my wife shakes things up a little bit. I remember when we first got married, and I came home, and this is when we was in the duplex. I walked in the house, everything was rearranged. I had to look, and I had to go back outside and look at the address. I went back in the house because I wasn't used to that. But she shake things up. She rearranged everything. I mean, I just looked, I said, she wanted to say, hey, honey, how you doing? I'm like, hold up, I got to process this first. Because how I left home, it wasn't like this. So I'm trying to process everything. I'm trying to find, okay, where my stuff at? And she looking at me, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, what you do with stuff? She trying to say, hey, baby, how you doing? Trying to greet me. I'm sitting up there, she shook things up in the house. I'm sitting there going like, where did you put this at? Where is this? Where's my living room? Some people don't like things to be shaken up. Some people like things as it is. But sometimes you got to shake it up. That's why I tell a musician, y'all shake it up. Shake it up. People need to be shaken. Have you had orange juice? As I close, have you had orange juice? I guarantee you when you go and buy it, you don't just drink it. Do you? Anybody do that? No. What? What you do? You shake it up. Because you want to make sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. Because there's some things that settle. You see what I'm saying? Kind of just down there, lying dormant. And then, but see, when you shake it up, the things that's supposed to be up gets up and start activating, start doing what it's supposed to do. Otherwise, you just get the little clear liquid stuff. But the real stuff, you need to shake it up and get it flowing inside of the container. So when you drink it, it'll give you the vitamins that you need. See, folks need to be shaken up so you can do what you're supposed to do in the Lord. So the folks that are young in Christ can get what they need to carry on the ministry. You understand what I'm saying? So folks need to be shaken up so you can help those on their way in Christ. So then when you pass on, they can carry on the ministry that has been set before them. So in other words, what I'm saying is get up. No, for real, get up. I am my grandfather's grandson. I just want you all to know that.